Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. We're going to pick it up with Revelation chapter 14 along about verse 18 here in a moment. Remember, let me jog your memory a little bit. Chapter 14 is written concerning the earth. Chapter 15, which we're about to go into, concerns heaven. So you must separate those two. Now, Father has told us within this, there's a certain amount of people that the Antichrist is not going to deceive. They're going to stand against him. And then he continues on and he mentions, blessed are those that have passed on. And the only thing you can take with you, we read in the 13th verse, is your works. So it's according to what kind of works you've got, because they follow you right into heaven. Why? Because that's what you're judged on. Okay, you can tell by looking at your works whether you have faith, what you've been doing, and what your worth is, as far as God is concerned. And he continued on, and about the sixth angel comes by, and he said, it's time for harvest. And he appeared with a great sickle. Now, if you know anything about horticulture, farming, you know that a sickle is for harvesting wheat, barley, or a grain, and you cut a swath, bundle it, pull a stem and bundle and make a bundle out of the event you've cut there. So we pick it up with that great sickle in the hand of that one, and we pick it up with the 18th verse. That's chapter 14, book of Revelation, meaning the unveiling to make known, verse 18, and it reads, and another angel, this would be the sixth, came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Now, whoa. You do not harvest grapes with a sickle. So what's he talking about? Well, we're about to go into the Song of Moses in the next chapter. And there God makes it very clear that their vine is not our vine. Talking about the Kenites, the sons of Cain. Their vine is totally different. It stems forth from Satan. Wickedness, that is evil. And he's going to plunk them like a bunch of overripe grapes. Bang. And have you ever been to a grape press where, excuse me, grapes are being pressed? You know, that's kind of what it looks like, and that's what he's referencing it to, is the great wrath of God. This is the cup that Jesus prayed to the Father before the crucifixion. Is it possible that this cup can pass from us? Is there another way we can bring salvation without really practicing that tough of love to shape them up before we have to ship them out if they don't straighten up? And naturally, God said, we're going to pour it out. Verse 19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now, this frightens so many people. Why? Why would it frighten you? God's not angry at you. He's angry at the vine of Satan or those that follow him. He's not angry at the children that love him. He even gives strict orders, touch not those that have the seal of God. That's what he told Satan way back in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4. Don't you dare touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead. What does that mean? The knowledge, you can't touch him anyway. They know better. They know who he is. They do not find him tempting. They find him to be an abomination. Therefore, they're clean of him. But those that choose to follow him, that wrath of God is not all that pleasant. But you know something? Ultimately, by the time the millennium rolls around, it might save some lives. Verse 20. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horse bridles, even the great white horse that Christ was riding, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's about 180 miles. You can even make it 200 if you want to. That's going to be quite a pouring out of the wrath at the Megiddo, which we know is the place that, what does Megiddo mean in the Hebrew tongue? It means the gathering place of the crowd. What crowd? The bad vine. That's where they gather. It is written. And the correction takes place there. And those that say there is no God, boy, are they going to find out that day that he is very real. And he's in charge. And he keeps score real good. Having said that, 14, that's what happens to earth. Meanwhile, what's going on up in heaven? Chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven. Make a mental note of that. Not earth, in heaven. Great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. It completes it. We'll be going through them one at a time in the next chapter. Verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass. That means purity. Nothing in there that's impure. Mingled with fire, a cleansing fire. God is a consuming, cleansing fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, that's the one world political system, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, that's that 666. They knew what 666 meant. It's the sixth seal, the sixth trump, and the sixth vial. That is to say, that's the very trump and seal and vial that Satan appears in as false Messiah. Stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. This is an interesting group because they had the victory. I mean, this is the winning team. If you ever wanted to join a real company of people, these are winners. Satan had no power over them because they had the truth. They had Christ. They had the true Messiah. But what are they doing? Well, let's learn. Verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Thou King of Ages is a better translation. Some people even put it nations, but it's ages, not of this age only, but all ages, the one that was, this one, and the one coming. What is it they're singing? They're singing the song of Moses. Now, I want this to settle in your mind. The people that were not deceived by Satan, the people that were not deceived by Antichrist, the people that understood the sixth seal, sixth trump, and the sixth vial were singing a certain song. It's a victory song. And naturally, if you know that song, you have instilled in your mind the truth that dispels any deception that might come your way. Well, tell me, brother, just where is this song of Moses? Well, it's real simple. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to take a little side trip there. I want you to hear that song. If you're singing this, then you have the knowledge that is required to defeat Satan and to follow Almighty God. The title of it you find in Deuteronomy chapter 31, the very last verse, 30. I'm going to have that called up. You can read along with me. And Moses, verse 30, and Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. You're going to have the whole thing. This is the knowledge you have to overcome. If you don't have this knowledge, you're probably in pretty bad shape. Verse 1 of chapter 32, the first verse of the song. Let's have it. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. That's heaven and earth, God speaking. My doctrine, that's my truth, shall drop as rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, the purest water there is, early morning. As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. That rain that gives growth, spiritually speaking, it lets the buds of your mind absorb truth and knowledge and assurance and love toward Almighty God. Verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. I am so thankful that God, for a little old church in Northwest Arkansas, has given us a platform that goes all the way around the world to publish that word, to publish that song of Moses. Verse 4, he is the rock. Notice the uppercase R. Our rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. This word rock in the uppercase will be utilized 5 times in this song, which means grace. It is perfect. As the song is perfect. Verse 5, here he speaks of the Kenites, sharpen up. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They're Satan's children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you have the key of David? It should come to your mind. Verse 6, do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? This word brought me is in the Hebrew is gadrai, which means to create. He created you. Hath he not made thee and established thee? Your soul belongs to him. Ezekiel 18:4, all souls belong to God. You don't just get around to giving your soul to God. He's got it and he will do with it as he pleases. It's according to how you react that determines that. Verse 7, he's always fair. Verse 7, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders and they will tell thee. Unfortunately, not too many of them are informed as they should be to know what really happened in the beginning, what happened in the garden, what happened in the first earth age. If you do not understand the beginning, you're never going to understand the end. Verse 8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance. Do you realize that all peoples, each people has an inheritance? When he separated the sons of Adam, and if you have a newer translation, it's probably translated men here, fraud, bad translation, the Kenites trying to deceive you. Throw that Bible away and get you one that reads Adam. Adam, he set the bounds of the people, the boundaries of the people, who's who and what's what, according to the number of the children of Israel. And so it is. He created each peoples, each nation, and each race as they are. And he loves all of his children. But he had boundaries. Verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. All of those children. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. This word lot is in the Hebrew tongue is cord. It's where we get a city lot from. Where you draw out a city diagram and a lot, like for encampment or inheritance. Verse 10, he found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Do you know what the apple of God's eye is? It's the pupil. In other words, God said he protects his elect, especially those set aside ones, those that know better, as much as he protects the very pupil of his eye. And you know, the human, even the human body can blink in a nanosecond to protect that pupil of the eye. And likewise, on the other hand, what does it mean? It means you touch one of God's anointed, and it's like sticking your finger in his eye. Guess what's going to happen to you? Not a pretty sight. I mean, visualize the vine and the grapes, and you'll get a pretty good picture of what it's like. Again, I want to remind you, this is the song that the overcomers sing, knowing our Father, his protection, and his love. Verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreading abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, teaching them to fly, protecting them. You know, a mother eagle is a, you don't ever reach under a mother eagle's wing and try to take a little one, or you'll draw back a bloody mitt, okay? A mother eagle protects her own, and even in learning to fly, protects them, saves them, catches them, bears them. That's what God is telling you. When you're out there in a human body and you trip and fall and slide and slip, mess up, if you really love him and ask him and seek him, he's going to pick you up. He's going to give you guidance. He's going to love you, touch you, and assist you, giving you stability. Verse 12, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. That's where the hurt comes in, is when you let some strange doctrine, because the main Antichrist, instead of Jesus, that's what you're saying, is always there, ready to take over if you allow him. 13, he made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. That oil of our people, the olive oil, will grow just wherever God places it. And there's always plenty that... and the knowledge and the ingenuity that God puts in those people, for he blesses them, just like he blesses this great nation, still does. And you can rest assured, God has his hand on the throttle. If anyone wishes to take off into the wild, God will allow you to do that, but there go your blessings. There go your protection from under the wing. You're on your own. You're out there mixing it up with Satan with no power and authority to help you one iota. You're going to tumble, roll, and end up in slipping and sliding right in it. Or you can stay with your Father. You can try to obey his command, 14, and be blessed. Butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan. Bashan means fruitful, really the best. And goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. That's the pure means it's unmixed, the real thing, fermented, perfect, just like the blood of Christ. Verse 15, here's your people though. You're going to have a word in this verse called Jeshurun. It is a play on the word Israel, but it means good time Charlie, okay? God blesses them, gives them everything they wish, over blesses them, you might say. And what happens to man when he gets, I'll say it, rich and over happy and supremely happy? A good time Charlie, in other words. What happens? 15. But Jeshurun, this is old big time Charlie, wax fat and kick, thou art waxing fat, thou art growing thick, thick between the ears. Thou art covered with fatness when he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed thee rock, uppercase, of his salvation. you throw God away and out of your life, and hey, you're going to have some rough sledding, friend. And what's going to happen? Well, God just doesn't care about me. Well, you don't care about him. Why should he? You're worthless. If you don't love him, why should he love you? You know, what a lot of people don't realize, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26, God's talking. He says, hey, remind me of the promises that I've made, and let's talk about it so I can justify you. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think God has forgotten the promises? Absolutely not. He wants to know if you've read it. He wants to know if you have a right to claim it by having the knowledge of reading the letter he has sent to you, knowing how to operate these flesh bodies whereby they can be peaceful and happy. That's why he said, remind me, talk to me about it, and let's talk so that I can justify you, means so that I can make it right with you. So you see, you leave that and you're unplugged. You would just be like, you know, we're working on these new electric cars. You have to plug them in. Well, I'll use the analogy that it would be just like you coming unplugged from God and you're out there out of gas. You're not going anywhere. Good time, Charlie. Be very careful when God blesses you to where you think you don't need him anymore, because indeed you do. You live in this earth age. 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. Father is jealous. You start flirting around with some other doctrine, some false teaching. He does not like it because he sent you this letter of truth. You know, it's just like if you're married to somebody and they start messing around on you, does that happy you? Well, it doesn't happy God either. That's why it's called adultery instead of idolatry in many places, so that you understand the feelings of Almighty God. He's jealous. Verse 17, they sacrifice unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, and to new gods that come newly up, whom your fathers feared not. You don't have to understand God's word, some of them will say. Why? Well, you're going to be gone. What kind of man would listen to another man and tell him, you don't need God's word? You're going to rapture out of here. That's the message of Satan. Because God doesn't say he's going to rapture you out of here. Christ says, I'm returning here to set up a kingdom. Are you going to be a part of it? Or are you going to be gone? Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 18 through 20 says, I'm against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. He's against it. Now, if God's against it, why would you want to be a party to it? It irritates him. He is jealous about it. You need to get back into the scripture and find out the truth and be ready to serve God instead of running out from under his protection. Gets real woolly out there, friend. But hey, it's your boat. You sail it. If you want to put her on the rocks, hey, heave to, friend. Next verse, verse 18. Of the rock, uppercase, that begat thee, thou art unmindful. You forgot him. And hast forgotten God that formed thee. You've turned your back on him. And then have the nerve to say, why doesn't God ever do anything for me? Why should he? You're the one that turned your back on him. He has promised you. This is one promise you can remind him of. Hebrews chapter 13, as well as other places, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. But a lot of people leave him. A lot of people forsake him. Well, have a good trip. Have fun. Good time, Charlie. Verse 19. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. In other words, of trying to lead others astray that love him. He doesn't like it. You know, many people, they don't realize that God has feelings. If somebody tries to abuse your child, what do? You get upset about it. Well, so does our Father. Verse 20, and he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward, a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. They don't have any faith in God, but they do in a lot of nonsense. 21, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, emptinesses, empty-headed. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And, you know, many wonder why that things are as they are. Well, people kind of bring it on themselves. But you, when you stay true, you are under that wing of Almighty God. He always cares for his own. 22, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundation of the mountains. This really frightens a lot of people. It's talking about the elements, that is to say the rudiments, that is to say only the bad stuff. Okay. He's going to burn the bad stuff up on this earth. You're not included. You could be right in the middle of that fire and you wouldn't even be singed. This is why the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were in that fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than necessary. They weren't singed and Christ was walking with them. Christ takes care of his own. Don't ever be fearful when the wicked are going to be punished. It's for their own benefit. 23, this is emphatic, God speaking, I will heap mischiefs upon them. I, emphatic, will send mine arrows upon them. Man, you can count on it. 24, they shall be burnt with hunger. You know what that means? It means fever. Okay. Well, why would they be burnt with fever? Their immune system's gone. And devoured with burning heat, with a burning fever, immune system gone, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. That is to say, the ways of Satan. You know, your immune system can be so destroyed that you just eat yourself up. You can't withstand any little old disease that comes along. Well, what causes that? Sin, filthiness. Well, why would somebody do that? I don't know, you tell me. God warned about it. This was written about 1400 BC. And it started in our lifetimes, in this final generation of the burning fever. And a whole generation about destroys themselves. Why? Sin, falling away from God. Jeshurun, Good Time Charlie. 25, the sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man with gray hairs. And that burning fever doesn't play favorites to anyone. 26, I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Those that, we go now all the way to the end of the millennium. If God blots you out, do you know why there's no tears shed in heaven? If old grandpa don't make it, you're not even going to remember him because God's going to blot him out of your memory. You won't miss him. God spoke and many things became everything. God can speak and something can become nothing. Blotted out. Verse 27, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high and the Lord hath not done all this. In other words, I would take some revenge right now, but I know the enemy would take credit for it. I don't want that's what God is saying. 28, for they are a nation void of counsel. neither is there any understanding in them. The Kenites don't care. They do not care. There is no compassion, very little even for each other. 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end, if they just stop and think about it. You see, even a Kenite, if they repent, can have eternal life, because instead of being a child of Satan, they become a child of God. Verse 30, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? In other words, God is not going to allow his children to be overcome. And two in with him can put 1,000 to flight. The truth is a mighty sword. It's Christ's tongue and it cuts both ways. The truth cuts a wide furrow and it punishes that enemy considerably. God will never sell his own, but he will let his own drift as far as they want to. Listen, God gave you a mind and he sent you a letter along telling you how to use these bodies and be successful. If you don't read it and if you don't follow his advice, you expect me to feel sorry for you? I don't. But I would encourage, and that's my calling, to drive you into the letter God sent you, whereby you can improve yourself from the ground up. And even if you were a Kenite, become a child of God. Because God created all souls, and he has room for all that will love him. 31, listen carefully. For their rock, notice the lowercase, that's Satan, Tyrus. That's the Hebrew word that means rock. It's Tyrus's, that's Satan's name as it is utilized in Ezekiel chapter 28. For their rock is not our rock, uppercase. Their God is not our God. Even our enemies themselves being judges, even they can tell that. And so it is that you want to know that we have, there's two ways you can go. We have Satan and we have our Father. If you want blessings, you will go with him. If you want the ways of the world, hey, have a good trip, okay? Have fun. You're not going to last long. But it's not fun. It's not fun because of verse 24. The burning fever, disease, and many other things. It'll eat you up. You could have had Almighty God. Think about it. We'll finish this song in the next lecture. Don't miss it. This is the song that overcomers were singing in the book of Revelation. The real truth. Not painted over. Facts as they fall upon earth. All right. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. Hey, that number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We don't judge people. God won't allow us to judge. He is the judge. and he does a real good job of it. Don't get on his toes. We do have the right to spiritually discern who we should fellowship with, who we should study with, who we should visit with, and so forth. That's your life, and you have that right of discernment. Spiritual discernment is a beautiful, wonderful thing. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's always, always a pleasure, and we thank you for that. Now, got a prayer request? You can do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He is the cardio knower in the Greek tongue. He knows your heart and your mind. You don't have to say it out loud. No one can ever prevent you from praying because you don't have to pray out loud and nobody knows whether you're praying or not. Just always pray in Messiah's name. Let the Father know you love him. That's what he wants from you more than anything. He created you for his pleasure. When you pleasure him, he's going to bless you. Hosea 6:6, I do not want your burnt offerings. I want your love. That's what he wants. Let him know you love him. Won't you do that, Father? Around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. And we're going to go with Dennis from Michigan. Will we in the flesh be able to see and understand the events written in the book of Revelations leading up to the return of Christ Jesus? We can't see into the spiritual realm. So how will these events appear to us in the flesh? Well, exactly the way they're written. One, like 14 was written to earth. You can see that. And if you're one of God's elect, in other words, it is so simple that a child can really understand that. I'll give a quick analogy in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. Out of seven churches, there was only two that Christ was pleased with. That was Smyrna and Philadelphia. You don't have to see spiritually, you have to discern spiritually. Well, how do I do that? Well, it's real simple. You read what is the content concerning Smyrna, that you are not deceived. You know those that claim to be of our brother Judah, but do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan. That's paramount. Go to the church of Philadelphia, which brotherly love that he was pleased with. What do they teach? That you have the key of David to know the Kenites, that you know those that claim to be our brother Judah, and do lie and are the synagogue of Satan. If your church doesn't teach that today here on earth now, you don't have to see into the spirit to know whether they are or not. If they're not teaching that, they're not pleasing God. Well, I wonder why he doesn't bless our church. Well, you might read the letter. There were seven churches there. Where does yours fit? Not by name, by content, okay? Raymond from Tennessee, when you die, you go straight to heaven. Others say you stay in the grave for 1,000 years. Which one is right according to the Bible? Well, you go straight to heaven. You go wherever God is, that is heaven, all right? Now, you're not in the eternal heaven. You're in paradise that Christ described in Luke chapter 16. There is a gulf right in the middle of it. The people that overcome are on this side with Abraham, and those that don't make it are across that gulf on the other side, waiting for the millennium. And so it is. But you need to document that, though, in the Word of God. And you would read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, to be absent from this body, meaning dead, is to be with God. And in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 through 7, the instant this old clay pot breaks and the silver cord parts, meaning you kick the bucket, instantly your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, returns to the Father that gave it. Instantly. You might read the last verses of St. John chapter 8. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Even Satan still lives. There is not one soul that has ever died There are souls that are like Satan's that is pronounced to death, but there will be no more pronounced until the great white throne judgment other than Satan's little fallen ones, Nephilim in the Hebrew tongue, and God's great white throne judgment. Then we'll find out, okay? But instantly, people go back to where they came. Diana from Georgia. Will there be births in the millennium? Please explain. Thank you. No. In spiritual bodies, God does the creation, no birthing. Okay. What ends this earth age is when all souls that were created from in the first earth age have passed through the womb of woman. That ends this earth age. Okay. Sherry from California. Pastor Murray, are Kenites ruddy complected? Answer, yes. Well, they're not fully ruddy, and sometimes they're called milk, okay? So, I'll let it go with that. But that's, they are, I mean, they were the offspring of Eve, Mother Eve. She was of Adam, and Adam means ruddy complected, okay, in the Hebrew tongue. Sharon from Kentucky. Pastor Murray, where in the Bible does it say not to borrow any money from another country? Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6. You will be blessed of God if you follow him, and you will loan money to many countries. But don't you ever borrow money from another country. That's real easy to understand. Why would God not want us to borrow money from another country? If our country's doing right, God's blessing it where you don't need to borrow. And instead of turning to another country, you better turn to God. And then your money problems will be solved. You got it? All we would have to do for this financial thing to straighten right up is to do what is godly, and what is godly is to do what is right rather than ripping people off, trying to take from one group of people and giving to another. That's communism, socialism. You know, we've got a lot of old troopers in this nation that have lost good buddies fighting socialism and communism. We're taking a real dim view of what's happening in this world as far as that blushes socialism transpires right in this great nation where some great wars have been fought and won to keep that sort of thing out. God expects us to depend on him, not some other nation, especially not China. Dolores from Oklahoma. Oh, Dolores, I know Jerry and I know Joyce real well. They used to work here at the chapel. I love them both. Great. Now, and I'm glad that you're studying with us now also. I do have a question I'm sure you can answer. When God speaks of hell, does this mean that all lost souls will be cast into a real lake of fire where they will burn with literal fire forever? No. It means that, let's take Satan himself. There is a real literal lake of fire, and when the millennium is over and everyone has had an opportunity to, beyond any shadow of a doubt, know the truth. You know, there are many people today that do not have an opportunity to learn the truth because there's not that many teachers that really teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. You got too many one verse revolving revs. Okay. And so they don't have a prayer of a chance to know the false Christ comes first when they are told they're going to fly. So therefore, God's not going to burn someone like that forever and ever. That's why we have the millennium. Christ's own presence here on earth and God's elect teaching the final chapter. And then if they still, when Satan is released a short season, if they choose to follow him, then we don't want them around anymore. And they go into that lake of fire, which is a consuming fire. That is what God is. Hebrews chapter 12, the very last verse, read it. Hebrews 12, last verse, God is a consuming fire, meaning he's going to blot it out. They're not going to be around. And You know, a lot of people, you got a lot of preachers that say, they're going to burn in hell forever and ever right there in heaven, and we're all going to sit around, watch it, enjoying, clapping our hands. I don't like to see people burn. If that's what heaven was really like, I don't know for sure what I would think about it, okay? But I know there's not even a tear shed, much less that lake of fire. If you've ever read Revelation chapter 21, and we'll be getting there pretty quick, all lakes are done away with, and the earth becomes erets or terra firma all the way around, so there is no lake of fire left. It's fini, over. Sharon from California, do you have to go to church to get into his kingdom? I don't believe in some of the words that are taught about Jesus and our Father. Well, there are some churches that will not teach the truth. That's why you have spiritual discernment. Certainly, neglecting to go to a church where God's word is not taught is not going, if anything, it's going to improve your chances in heaven. Why go to a church that doesn't teach God's word? If you go to some church where you got a revolving rail, evangelist is exempt from this, okay? That's what an evangelist does, is draw people to a pastor. A pastor is, the word comes from pasture. You're supposed to feed the sheep. And anytime a pastor doesn't feed the sheep, then he's no good, okay? But what does he feed them? Feeds them God's word. Nothing else, God's word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, whereby their souls have an opportunity to decide for themselves. Otherwise, he's not a pastor, he's a fraud. So it wouldn't do you any good to go to a fraud. This is Greeley from California. I'm 14 years old. I'm being taught at school and on television that the appendix has no purpose, but I believe Father has a purpose for it, or else he would not have put one in our bodies. Does the appendix have a use? Absolutely. The appendix is part of the immune system. Your tonsils are a part of the immune system. A person such as myself, here at my age, I still have my tonsils, I still have my appendix. And my immune system is very strong. And what would be caught by many people, thank God I can say God himself has created an appendix and tonsils and adenoids that take care of immune systems. And naturally, this has nothing to do with, if Dr. Luke was a doctor, and there are times when you find bad things in this generation that will even bypass that, and you have to take antibiotics and so forth. That's what we have doctors for, especially Christian doctors. Fantastic. Karen from Wisconsin, why did Methuselah not live to be 1,000 years old? What sin did he commit? How did he displease the Lord? He didn't displease the Lord necessarily. It was God's command that in the day that man, and it wasn't only Adam, that the day that man sinned, he would die. How long is the day with God? It's 1,000 years. So it was God's law. He set that first generation where it could not exceed 1,000 years. And then he shortened it even yet. He was a little upset in Genesis 3, and it stipulates there that he regretted he had created man in the flesh also. Genesis 6:3. And gave him only 120 years. And that seems like that keeps getting shortened a little bit. Pastor Murray's Sharon from Hartford. You have preached on God making Satan the full pattern, that he was beautiful, the best. So with this being said, and since God knows all, didn't he know when he created Satan that he would turn and become evil and turn a third of his angels against him? Was Satan becoming evil part of God's divine plan of mankind? Absolutely not. You know, Sharon, a lot of people don't understand love. a lot of people think, well, God could have created people that could not do anything but love him. He could have created a lot of rubber people, huh? And all they would do in the morning is wake up and say, love you, God, love you, God, love you, God. And that's all they'd be fit for, is a bunch of rubber people. But God wanted real love. And real love must originate within each individual. God does not know whether an individual on their own is going to love him or hate him. He does not know if an individual is going to choose to follow him or follow Satan. But for it to be true love, he must give that entity free will. Just like you have free will today to mess up if you want to, or to do what's right if you want to, or to love God or not to love God. God, if God knew who would truly love him and who would not, he would have scorched the earth a long time ago, getting rid of those that would fail. But see, to be the real love, the real thing, you can't buy love, you can't demand love, you can't order it. It's got to flow outward from each entity, or it's not there. God wants the real thing, and you can't blame him. Naturally, he created us the same way. We always want the real thing, period. This upsets some people when they hear me say God doesn't know everything. God doesn't know what each individual will decide because of love, period. Barbara from Georgia. I would like to know what you think of a person wanting to be cremated, because I don't want to be a burden on my family for my being buried. I'm on Social Security and I have not much of a savings. Would I be going against my Lord's will? Absolutely not. Okay. And all you people that are on short fixed incomes, there is nothing wrong with cremation. As I quoted earlier in this particular teaching, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, this flesh body goes back to dirt. That's all it is. It was formed from what your mother partook of as you were in her womb, from the earth, vegetable or meat-eating animal that would eat grass and things growing, corn, anything from the earth, all from the earth. We were created from the earth in the beginning, and from the earth we are now. And instantly, your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, meaning your soul, you see, you have a much more perfect body than these. It's the spiritual body. It doesn't age, it doesn't wither, it doesn't get old. It dwells within this body. And the instant you die, it steps out and returns to the Father. Okay, your soul never departs one body or the other. It does depart the flesh and it goes back to dirt. Read the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes if you want to take that further. It will say that a living dog is better than a dead lion. A lion is usually known as the king of the jungle, but if he's dead, he's dead meat. Okay, so, and a living dog at least has metabolism going through his system. But once they're in the ground, nobody ever remembers it anymore. Why? Because they have a far much better body. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 35. You have two bodies. Don't ever forget it. Owen from Texas. Pastor Murray, you've helped me realize how biblically illiterate and spiritually dead I was. Well, we all learn from God's word. Okay, I'm trying to spot your question. Thank God he sent people like you to help out dense ones like myself. Don't be so hard on yourself, all right, buddy? My question is, Jesus fed the multitude with 5 fishes and 2 loaves, approved of 2 of the 7 churches. It seems like there is a correlation on the message there that I'm missing. You're missing something, all right? And I hate to correct you publicly like this. 5 fishes and 2 loaves? Son, you go back and read it again, and I think you'll find it says 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Okay. the five loaves is the bread of life. That's Christ's body. And he broke that for us, but here he was feeding that, meaning there's enough to go around for everybody. And naturally, a fish, the equation is Christianity. Okay, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. That's the cipher, okay? You're doing good. Don't be so hard on yourself, okay? You're doing great, and that's a good thought. There are only two out of the seven churches, so you got that right. Okay, but don't get the, it is the, good enough. Teresa from Kentucky. My sister and I watch your program, great. Is there anywhere in the scripture that teach against bequeathing bodies to science or death? No, there's nothing against it. There's nothing for it, though. But I think it's wonderful if a person can give sight to someone that's never had sight. I think that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I myself personally am against someone getting a bypass for lungs, heart, and the whole smash, you know. I think, you know, that it's time then to go home to the Father, but then that's everybody's own personal choice. That's simply mine. But I don't see anything wrong with donating a body to science, and I'm out of time, okay? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but most of all, God loves you for it, okay? Makes his day. When you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me. Listen good. You stay in his word every day. And his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.